5-8 Haney 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Lamar Jackson met with the media yesterday after mandatory minicamp. And the question was, summer break.
Yeah.
Makes you feel fine. Your pass catcher is going to be with you there?
I would love to do that. You know, but some guys don't want to leave their state. They're going to have to come to South Florida. They're going to have to do it. We got to. We're trying to get to that Super Bowl, man. We got to grind. We got to build chemistry.
All right. Now, who the hell is he talking about there as we read between the lines?
Well, Zay lives in South Florida. I'm guessing Bateman's in Arizona. Andrews is in Arizona. The thing is they're not going to – if I'm Lamar, what you do is you kind of set something up that – listen, guys, come for 4 days. I got your hotel set up. You know, we'll play golf. We'll do what? Go to the beach. Do whatever. We'll work out twice a day. Take you to dinner. You don't have to pay for any. He's making $52 million a year. I mean, he gave away $750,000.
Correct.
You know, so if you pay, I'll pay your flight. I'll pay for it all. Then more likely for them to come. I guess, you know, it's that's how. To me, that's if I'm Lamar, that's what I'm doing with those. I'll bet you that's what Mahomes does. You know, just make it easy for them to come. Now, them not wanting to leave their – Lamar seems like – listening to that, it seems like he's asked them, hey, you want to come to South Florida? Man, I ain't leaving.
Right.
And Bateman and Andrews live in Arizona.
But we know he's got a – working relationship with Mark Andrews.
Yeah, and the other thing was Bateman missed some OTAs because he was in Arizona. So, I mean, if I'm Bateman, I got to do everything I can. You know, I mean, hey, I just got a little contract extension. Whatever, to hey, Lamar, I'll come for 4 days, you know, over the weekend or whatever. Something. If Andrews, okay, yeah, Bateman... You gotta be the aggressor.
Yeah, seems like without saying his name, that's who he might be referring to. Yeah. And again, you know, Lamar, based on what we just heard there, sounded pretty adamant about, hey, man, let's get this going here. We got to grind. We got to get the work in. And maybe he doesn't have a lot of willing partners to do so. Not trying to make too much out of what might not even be a big deal, but... he was asked a question, answered it honestly, and sounds like he's willing to do things, but they just can't get on the same page there.
Yeah, and it's somewhat disappointing because they weren't all together in OTAs. I mean, a lot of that was Lamar's fault because he wasn't there a lot, and Bateman wasn't there all the time. Bateman wasn't there the week that I was there. So do they need to work out for 6 weeks? No. Do they, and it's, Bob, it's more about, other than just throwing, it's about hanging out together for the 4 days, you know, and talking football and doing those kind of things. That's what it is, just as quarterbacks and receivers.
Speaking of that, quarterback receiver, Lamar was asked about his relationship with second year Zay Flowers.
Can't really describe our chemistry. I believe it's great. I can say that. It's better than last year. Yeah, just being around him, like you say, you know, down in Florida, running every route on the route tree and just trying to build. And it's working out for us.
And what did he say? His chemistry is great because they were working. You know, I mean, and that's the difference between him and Bateman. It's so, yeah, I mean, if you're Bateman, it's so easy. Well, he's lives down there. Well, you know what? Go get an apartment. It's your profession.
Flowers, as a rookie, had more catches than Bateman at targets last year.
Yeah.
77 versus 56. But to Lamar saying that their chemistry is even greater, him and Zay 77 catches, 858, 5 touchdowns. How much do those numbers increase here second season?
77. I think it's going to increase, Bob, because he's your legit number one. The thing, if you ranked him on like his comfort level with them, I would say Andrews and Zay probably tied for first, likely second, and then Bateman's last. That's the way I see it.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fan. News from the Nest. Lamar was also asked, what are your plans for the offseason once camp ends?
Focus on the season, G. You know, offseason really over for me. I'm focusing on the season and what's ahead.
I wish somebody would ask him, like, your training habit. Have you been running? You know, how did you cut this weight? And, you know, and what's your, I'm guessing his plan is to stay at that weight, Bob. And what do you got to do to stay at that weight? You know, because I don't know if he's lifting or he's lifting wise, he's doing a ton of reps because then, you know, you don't get big and bulky.
Yeah. And, you know, as he said, my off season's over.
Yeah.
He's not going down and gaining 15 pounds, partying, you know, drinking things with umbrellas in them. He's going to keep that work ethic strong for when they come back, get ready for the Super Bowl run that they expect to have. Now let's get to Joe D'Alessandro, O-line coach. Something, Vinny, we talked about a couple of days ago. Patrick McCary, versatile player. They paid him.
Yep.
He's very important to the offensive line. But do you prefer him in that role, or could he be a starter based on competition?
You know what? Right now, Pat's situation is more of a good quality. I see him in my eyes as a starter, okay? He's a starter, but he's in a position where he could play multiple positions. That's the role that we like to see him in right now. Does that mean if you have an injury, guess what? You're starting, Pat. But it's not that he can't start. It's just that we see the versatility and the benefit of that opportunity.
The value, and we talked about it, Bob. I mean, the value of him being able to come in at every position is more valuable than being a starter, because people are going to get hurt. People are going to get dinged during the game. And Pat McCary can come in and he can play left tackle. He can play left guard. He can play center. He can play right guard, right tackle. Now, if a guy, let's say McCary gets hurt, may take two guys to handle that because they can't play tackle and play center. And without McCary, they don't have a backup center right now. So is it a luxury? Kind of. Is he better than the two guards in the right tackle right now? Yeah. But.
Yeah.
His value to the team is so great, in my opinion, you know, and that's where it would just be, to me, if you lost a left guard, it's not as catastrophic. Starting left guard, if you asked Harbs, would you rather lose a starting left guard or lose McCary? I'd rather lose a starting left guard.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fan. Finally, with Joe D, and we'll get more to, of him coming your way later on in the hour, and certainly in the 1 o'clock hour when we get the NFL lunch. What about that Daniel Falele's development here?
Well, I think Daniel now is becoming more of a good football player. In a sense, he's starting to feel comfortable in his body and what he can do. We're working him at right tackle. We're working him somewhat right guard. And he's played left tackle before. So went up to New England and beat New England when he was playing left tackle, right? So, and that's a big confidence where he what he achieved. But I just see him getting more familiar, what he has to do, how he's got to communicate. I think it's just work in progress with him.
Working, Bob, what three are we years here for?
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. And he's still a work in progress. He's just figuring out how to play with him. But you know what, Bob, let me... He hadn't played a lot of football in high school or college. So he's not saying that he's a starter at right guard. He's played those spots. He's a work in progress. I mean, to me, if somebody, and he's trying to be positive, I mean, because they never knock anybody, it's a work in progress. You know, and he kind of stuttered at the beginning, you know.
He was like,
kind of had to think about
it. He's getting comfortable with his own body, like Nolan over there. When we come back, going to count some money, hopefully buy or sell. Going to get Vinny's mini camp report. Stay tuned for that. American League East report coming up at 12:45, NFL lunch at 1. Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun at 1:15. And Mike Harmon, our buddy from Fox Sports Radio, talking about all things sports with him at 1:30.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
5880-1057, the fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. You know the drill. Plaza Port text line is waiting for you. Orioles Braves coming up at 105. Keep you up to date on the score for the last hour. We are here. We'll give you the Orioles lineup coming up around 1245 when we get to the American League East report. But right now, let's count some dough, shall we? By yourself.
Yeah, Bob, I kind of hate to say that the Dow is down 264. The S&P is down 9. NASDAQ is up 2. DraftKings is down 0.25. Under Armour's down a dime, 654.
We're going to get things started here in the NFL today, where the Steelers, well, they had enough of Deontay Johnson, traded him to maybe the worst possible place you could go right now in the NFL, Carolina. But life must not be too bad in Carolina, because Deontay Johnson is already talking about staying there long term. That is, if the Panthers want him. When asked about the current wide receiver market, where guys are one-upping each other with bigger deals every week, it seems, Johnson says he's more motivated now than he ever has been in his career. But buy or sell, Vinny, even if he does perform well in this one-year trial, the Panthers won't be extending him long-term.
I'll soft buy. I mean, the reason he's not in Pittsburgh is the headache. The headache was bigger than the production. They got rid of the headache.
Yeah, and a lot is of he drops gonna, too, right?
Yeah, is he going to be a headache in Carolina? I mean, if I'm Carolina, I'm bringing in a guy that's a pain in the ass in Pittsburgh to a young football team. I don't know that that was a good idea.
Well, earlier in the NBA Finals, between games 1 and 2, Jason Kidd made some headlines for comments about Jaylen Brown being the Celtics' quote best player. A harmless enough remark if you heard the full quote, but it did catch on and grab people's attention as a potential disruption tactic for Boston's locker room, that hey, Brown's the best player, not Tatum, even though Tatum has long been considered the Batman in that duo. Kidd, when asked for a follow-up a few days later, he refuted it, said there was no mind games, and his relationship with Jaylen Brown actually goes back quite a while. Are you buying or selling, Bob, that there wasn't any extra meaning behind his comments?
I'm buying it. It's just, simple, innocuous comment. You got microphones in your face. You're up against it in the series, and you got all of these things to worry about with your own team. But Jaylen Brown is a hell of a player. Jason Tatum is a triple-double level player, and they're both playing well, along with others. So whatever separation factor or mind games that Jason Kidd may have been trying to perform, they're not working, for one. But I'm actually surprised they got that big of a news cycle, life, et cetera.
Maybe giving Kidd a little too much credit for the there.
Yeah, you better worry about what's happening with his own team right now.
Back to the NFL. A lot of changes in the running back world this offseason, but a name that people may be forgetting about, staying with the team that he's been on forever, Alvin Kamara. Now, he had the legal issues last year, served a suspension, so he missed some time, but in 13 games, still able to surpass 1,100 yards from scrimmage. Similar to Austin Eckler, always been a guy that's about the full picture, receiving and rushing, not just the ground game. And he's never surpassed 1,000 yards solely on the ground in a season. But now he's got a new offensive coordinator to work with. Clint Kubiak comes over from San Francisco. Buy or sell, Vinny, Kamara will set a new career high in rushing yards this year. Previously, 932 was his high.
I'll buy that with the zone stuff and everything. He'll fit into that. Especially he comes in shape and he doesn't, you know, all that stuff, Vegas and all that stuff's past him. I think he will.
A little baseball here. The Blue Jays last week designated Kevin Biggio for assignment, and then they ultimately worked out a trade with the Dodgers to send him out west. In return, get a minor league pitcher, but it brings an end to his tenure in Toronto, where he was a part of a trio there of generational players, the sons of former big leaguers, Guerrero Jr., Bichette, the other two. But unlike those two, he never really caught on as a starter. Rookie season in 2019 was pretty promising, but never was able to build on it. Now a sub-230 hitter in his career. Buy or sell, Bob, Biggio will be a utility man for the rest of his career.
I'll buy it because he doesn't have a lot of pop. His power numbers have never been, you know, that impressive. I mean, Bo Bichette's a guy that's led the league in hits. Vlad's been an MVP-worthy player. And he was always kind of the Shemp of that trio, if you know what I'm talking about here. So, yeah, I'll buy that he'll utility it up. But maybe a change of scenery could do him well. That's always fun for certain players. But Kevin Biggio, you come with the last name of a Hall of Fame father, comes the pressure, and maybe it got to him, Nolan. I don't know.
And lastly, here in the NFL, we're a few years removed from Cooper Kupp challenging Calvin Johnson's single-season receiving record. Since then, things have been not as smooth for Cooper Kupp. He's had his fair share of injuries that have limited him to just 21 games played between 2022 and 2023. But now he's back to feeling like his old self. And with a nice running mate there, Puka Nacua, Kupp, he's not the only concern for opposing defenses. With that in mind, Vinny, buy or sell, we will see Kupp fully return to form this upcoming season.
I'm going to sell it. I think he'll be back to normal because he'll be healthy. But Puka is going to take a lot of those catches.
Yeah, for a team that was hurting for draft picks, what, 2 years in a row, they got Kerryon Williams in the fifth and then Nacua in the fifth. And I think, too, guys, Stafford had a bounce-back second half. We thought he was toast.
Oh, no doubt.
Going into last season. Now he's a guy that wants a contract extension.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll cause a little drama for Sean McVay. When we come back, we're going to, Vinny, going to break down these mini camps that he has seen. Mandatory. Throw out a player. He'll talk about him. You have any questions for Vinny about what he has seen at mini camp? Give us a call. 410-583-1057. Orioles taking on the Braves coming up at 105. American League East report coming up at 1245. Give you the lineups for both teams as well. 5880-1057 The Fan. You're on this total request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Send the request. Plaza Sport text line. 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday, revealing that one about an hour or so. Orioles and Braves, half hour from now, give you the lineups during the AL East report, which is coming up in a couple of minutes. Ravens wrapping up mandatory mini camp today. As a matter of fact, they're done. John Harbaugh's meeting with the media as we speak. And Vinny, you've been there a couple of times. You saw OTAs last week as well. Let's start with the rookies, and we'll start, obviously, with the number one pick out of Clemson, Nate Wiggins.
Bob, I mean, yesterday he had those black tights on. I sent you a picture. Yeah. I mean, that dude's skinny, 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 man. I was shocked at how skinny he was. But, I mean, he's looked good. I mean, he can pedal and plant drive. He shows his speed. He hadn't made as many plays on the balls as Tampa has. So that's something that, you know, we'll look more to see come training camp. But physically and all those things, he definitely looks the part.
Does he find the ball, as we've
he
seen?
He can find a ball, yeah. He can find a ball, but it just seems like it finds Tampa's hands.
All right.
Quite often.
But so far, so good, but Nate Wiggins
yeah,
still
I got no
trending
problems.
In a positive
yeah,
direction.
I got no problems with Wiggins, and Bob, it'll be good for him when pads come on, number one. I mean, especially, you know, how does he hold up with
173 pounds playing physical, and then he'll probably get a lot of play in those preseason games. So all that stuff is going to help him come on.
Here's Ravens offensive line coach Joe D'Alessandro talking about Baltimore's second round pick.
You know, Roger's doing a great job. He's eager. He hustles. He gives good effort. He plays to succeed. Just continued growth. Understanding the offense. And just let's see now when you put we put you in a game, how are you going to produce in games? And you're going to have some ups. You're going to have some downs. How you could bounce back of some of those opportunities, you know. But I'm glad we have him. He's a heck of a young man.
Bob, everything he said, there was not one thing really about, you know, he's a heck of a young man, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. Because what I see is I see a kid that he's got athleticism. He's smart. Pretty tough kid. And physically, he's not there yet, I don't think. He just doesn't look like he's been in the weight room a ton. And then, like yesterday, I was watching down on the red zone, in the red zone stuff. He was going against Malik Ham. Ham just took him, walked him right back to the quarterback. And Bob, it was like, oh boy, there's the Michigan tape again. Oh. That's what it looked like. So then the next play, Ham fakes outside, jumps back inside, and Rosengarten, he didn't even move. I mean, Ham went right through. Like, yeah, he looks young and raw, right? I mean, he's not ready to be that guy yet.
Well, he's not a project-level guy, right? Like Fa'alele, who we talked about earlier.
No, he's farther along than that after, you know, playing at UW and everything. But he's going to take some time. He's going to have some growing pain. I mean, Bob, would I want to put him out there? And because you know what the Chiefs will do if he's out there? Chris Jones, here he comes.
Yeah.
He ain't ready for that or what or, you know, and Myles Garrett, who do you think he's going to line up on?
Yeah. Well, again, work in progress, right, as you say. But there's upside there.
There's definitely upside. He's smart. He's tough. And technique-wise, he'll be good. Will he ever be great? Probably not, but he can be a solid guy in, you know, play 10 years in the league, but I don't know when his first start. We need him to come probably faster than he's ready.
Yeah, if we're talking about him in this way going into his third year.
Oh, it won't.
He's all bust though, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't think that happens. I think, Bob, I think that what we're hoping is that maybe week 8, week 9, he's ready.
Adiza Isaac, third round pick, Penn State. How do we judge it all here?
Yeah, I don't know. He tweaked his hand. I don't know if it's tweaked. He probably pulled his hammy rookie minicamp because that's been like 6 weeks now. But he's running on the side working with the trainers. And I liked him in college. He's got production in college. You know, and everybody says, oh, it's Chop Robinson on the other side. That's why. I don't know. Chop Robinson doesn't have any play, you know, doesn't make plays, and he makes a ton. Or they're saying, well, you know, he doesn't get doubled. Yeah, but you know what? He's beating his guy and he's making plays. So there's something. I'm anxious to watch him because I haven't seen a thing of him, but I did like him as a college player.
Now, 2 fourth round picks for the Ravens this year, Tez Walker out of North Carolina and TJ Tampa, who you referenced earlier, Vinny. And, you seem to be rather impressed with potential for both of these guys.
I think both guys, 81 and 27. Walker's 81, and he's made plays. He's made plays. Is he a great route runner? Not yet because he's got a little stiffness to him, but so he's got to learn how to get it in and out of cuts. But if he's going deep and vertical and those kind of things, he can make. He has. He's shown that he can do it. He'll play for the Ravens this year, and he'll make some plays for them this year. And I think, Bob, it's a guy that he couldn't start practicing, playing, doing anything till October the 5th. So I think it's a guy that is going to keep getting better and better. I mean, what do you have, like 700 yards in like the last 8 games or whatever it was? You know, and everybody said, well, he had a lot of drops. I mean, he didn't touch a football for how long? You know, and then he got thrown in, and he's in game week.
Yeah, with a guy who's drafted, what, third overall.
Right, and can throw it. So he made some big plays for them. I think, Bob, it's a guy that is going to be better in week three. Week six, he's going to be better than that. You know, by the end of the year, you know, he may be doing even better things.
And we talked for years, Vinny, about Devin Duvernay's speed, which never really translated as a receiver onto the field. So they're upside here.
He plays fast.
Yeah, there you go.
Whereas Duvernay was the fastest guy in the draft. And it's like, I mean, Keaton Mitchell plays fast. Duvernay, he never looked like that. You know, I mean, he didn't jump out. He wasn't outrunning angles. And he's faster than Mitchell. Didn't ever show it.
Now, TJ Tampa's not necessarily fast, right, but he makes plays.
He does. And I think that what Zach Orr will do, Bob, I think Zach Orr will use him in, like, if he's got to play press man, play up on him, jam, play physical, because he's 6'1", like 200 pounds. So he's a big physical guy. And the deep speed is the only thing that he lacks. But he makes a ton of plays on the ball. So he's a good football player. And I think he's going to be involved because, Bob, he's physical. He'll hit. He'll tackle. So he's going to be part of it. He's going to be involved there somewhere, especially if Humphrey is, you know, got nagging stuff all the time. I mean, I've been to four practices. He was there for a couple plays, and then he's been out. You know, you're saying, all right, you'd love for either he or Ronnie Stanley. Well, I think you asked me, who do you think, you know, plays more, Ronnie Stanley or Humphrey?
Stanley, yeah.
I mean, Ronnie, he's been every OTA, has not missed anything. Marlon, he ain't been anything.
Now, here's Willie Taggart talking about the Ravens' fifth-round draft pick, Rasheen Ali.
He's a young man that really, really want to be really good and want to know everything. I mean, he's another one that's calling and texting and want to know what he's supposed to do. He want to know way in advance. He'll call. I get a call, I text tonight and ask about the script tomorrow and what to do. But watch him out here each practice. He's getting better and better. You can tell that he's getting comfortable, you know, and from a talent standpoint, he's very talented.
And we're going to see. To me, with the running back, Bob, you can't tell until preseason games. What's he doing in the preseason games? You know, he doesn't have the kind of speed, Bob, and I keep going back to Keaton Mitchell, but Keaton Mitchell a year ago, there was a play every day that you say, Jesus, that kid's fast. Or he showed up, 34 showed up all the time. 26, during the OTAs, he showed up a lot more because Henry wasn't there. So they were throwing a lot.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
As well. 888-1057 The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send the request, Plaza Sport text line, 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday, revealing that one. About an hour or so, Orioles and Braves. Half hour from now, give you the lineups during the AL East Report, which is coming up in a couple of minutes. Ravens wrapping up mandatory mini camp today. As a matter of fact, they're done. John Harbaugh's meeting with the media as we speak. And Vinny, you've been there a couple of times. You saw OTAs last week as well. Let's start with the rookies, and we'll start obviously with the number one pick out of Clemson, Nate Wiggins.
Bob, I mean, yesterday he had those black tights on. I sent you a picture. Yeah. I mean, that dude's skinny, man. I was shocked at how skinny he was. But, I mean, he's looked good. I mean, he can pedal and plant drive. He shows his speed. He hadn't made as many plays on the balls as Tampa has. So that's something that, you know, we'll look more to see come training camp. But physically and all those things, he definitely looks the part.
Does he find the ball, as we've
he
seen?
He can find a ball, yeah. He can find a ball. But it just seems like it finds Tampa's hands.
All right.
Quite often.
But so far, so good. But Nate Wiggins still trending in a positive direction.
I got no problems with Wiggins. And, Bob, it'll be good for him when pads come on, number one. I mean, especially, you know, how does he hold up with 173 pounds playing physical? And then he'll probably get a lot of play in those preseason games. So all that stuff is going to help him come on.
Here's Ravens offensive line coach Joe D'Alessandro talking about Baltimore's second round pick.
You know, Roger's doing a great job. He's eager. He hustles. He gives good effort. He plays to succeed. Just continued growth. Understanding the offense. And just let's see now when we put you in a game, how are you going to produce in games? And you're going to have some ups. You're going to have some downs. How you could bounce back of some of those opportunities, you know. But I'm glad we have him. He's a heck of a young man.
I mean, Bob, everything he said, there was not one thing really about, you know, he's a heck of a young man, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. Because what I see is I see a kid that he's got athleticism. He's smart, pretty tough kid. And physically, he's not there yet, I don't think. He just doesn't look like he's been in the weight room a ton. And then, like yesterday, I was watching down on the red zone, in the red zone stuff. He was going against Malik Ham. Ham just took him, walked him right back to the quarterback. And, Bob, it was like, oh, boy, there's the Michigan tape again.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. So then the next play, Ham fakes outside, jumps back inside, and Rosengarten, I mean, he didn't even move. I mean, Ham went right through. Like, yeah, he looks young and raw, right? I mean, he's not ready to be that guy yet.
Well, he's not a project level guy, right? Like Fa'alele, who we talked about earlier.
No, he's farther along than that after, you know, playing at UW and everything. But he's going to take some time. He's going to have some growing pain. I mean, Bob, would I want to put him out there? And because you know what the Chiefs will do if he's out there? Chris Jones, here he comes.
Yeah.
He ain't ready for that or Watt or, you know, and Myles Garrett. Who do you think he's going to line up on?
Yeah. Well, again, work in progress, right, as you say. But there's upside there.
There's definitely upside. He's smart. He's tough. And technique-wise, he'll be good. Will he ever be great? Probably not, but he can be a solid guy in, you know, play 10 years in the league, but I don't know when his first start. We need him to come probably faster than he's ready.
Yeah, if we're talking about him in this way going into his third year.
Oh, it won't.
He's all bust, though, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't think that happens. I think, Bob, I think that what we're hoping is that maybe week 8, week 9, he's ready.
Adiza Isaac, third-round pick, Penn State. How do we judge it all here?
Yeah, I don't know. He tweaked his hand. I don't know if it's tweaked. He probably pulled his hammy rookie minicamp because that's been like 6 weeks now. But he's running on the side working with the trainers. And I liked him in college. He's got production in college. You know, and everybody says, oh, it's Chop Robinson on the other side. That's why. I don't know. Chop Robinson doesn't have any play, you know, doesn't make plays, and he makes a ton. Or they're saying, well, you know, he doesn't get doubled. Yeah, but you know what? He's beating his guy and he's making plays. So there's something. I'm anxious to watch him because I haven't seen a thing of him, but I did like him as a college player.
Now, 2 fourth round picks for the Ravens this year, Tez Walker out of North Carolina and TJ Tampa, who you referenced earlier, Vinny. And, you seem to be rather impressed with potential for both of these guys.
I think both guys, 81 and 27, Walker's 81, and he's made plays. He's made plays. Is he a great route runner? Not yet, because he's got a little stiffness to him. But so he's got to learn how to get it in and out of cuts. But if he's going deep and vertical and those kind of things, he can make. He's shown that he can do it. He'll play for the Ravens this year, and he'll make some plays for them this year. And I think, Bob, it's a guy that he couldn't start practicing, playing, doing anything till October the 5th. So I think it's a guy that is going to keep getting better and better. I mean, what did he have, like 700 yards in like the last eight games or whatever it was? You know, and everybody said, well, he had a lot of drops. I mean, he didn't touch a football for how long? You know, and then he got thrown in, and he's in game week.
Yeah, with a guy who's trapped at what, third overall?
Right, and can throw it. So he made some big plays for them. I think, Bob, it's a guy that is going to be better in week three. Week six, he's going to be better than that. You know, by the end of the year, you know, he may be doing even better things.
And we talked for years, Vinny, about Devin Duvernay's speed, which never really translated as a receiver onto the field. So they're upside here.
He plays fast.
Yeah, there you go.
Whereas Duvernay was the fastest guy in the draft. And it's like, I mean, Keaton Mitchell plays fast. Duvernay, he never looked like that. You know, I mean, he didn't jump out. He wasn't outrunning angles. And he's faster than Mitchell. Didn't ever show it.
Now, TJ Tampa's not necessarily fast, right, but he makes plays.
He does. And I think that what Zach Orr will do, Bob, I think Zach Orr will use him in, like, if he's got to play press man, play up on him, jam, play physical, because he's 6'1", like 200 pounds. So he's a big physical guy. And the deep speed is the only thing that he lacks. But he makes a ton of plays on the ball. So he's a good football player. And I think he's going to be involved because, Bob, he's physical. He'll hit. He'll tackle. So he's going to be part of it. He's going to be involved there somewhere, especially if Humphrey is, you know, got nagging stuff all the time. I mean, I've been to four practices. He was there for a couple plays, and then he's been out. You know, you're saying, all right, you'd love for either he or Ronnie Stanley. I think you asked me, who do you think, you know, plays more, Ronnie Stanley or Humphrey?
Stanley, yeah.
I mean, Ronnie, he's been every OTA, has not missed anything. Marlon, he ain't been anything.
Now, here's Willie Taggart talking about the Ravens' fifth-round draft pick, Rasheen Ali.
He's a young man that really, really want to be really good and want to know everything. I mean, he's another one that's calling and texting and want to know what he's supposed to do. He want to know way in advance. He'll call. I get a call, I text tonight and ask about the script tomorrow and what to do. But watch him out here each practice. He's getting better and better. You can tell that he's getting comfortable, you know, and from a talent standpoint, he's very talented.
And we're going to see. To me, with the running back, Bob, you can't tell until preseason games. What's he doing in the preseason games? You know, he doesn't have the kind of speed, Bob, and I keep going back to Keaton Mitchell, but Keaton Mitchell a year ago, there was a play every day that you say, Jesus, that kid's fast. Or he showed up, 34 showed up all the time. 26, during the OTAs, he showed up a lot more because Henry wasn't there. So they were throwing a lot to him. Now with Henry in there, you very rarely see 26 or he goes down with the other group. But he catches the ball well out of the backfield. He's not a burner. And let's see when the pads come on what he looks like.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report. We got more Ravens breakdown coming your way at 1. NFL lunch. Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. He was out at one winning drive today. We'll talk to him around 1:15. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Talk about which looks like the end of the NBA Finals. Could be happening as soon as Friday. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan McGraw. It's Total Request Thursday here on The Fan. All right, Orioles win last night 4-2. Colton Cowser, two-run homer, bottom of the eighth inning after Keegan Aiken had given up a two-run homer to Matt Olson, which tied the game. Kate Povich, outstanding, six shutout innings. Craig Kimbrell gets the save, his 16th. Orioles tonight, or this afternoon coming up in a matter of minutes, as a matter of fact, go for the sweep against Atlanta. Orioles have won six consecutive games. Here's the starting lineup for both teams. Gunnar Henderson leading off at shortstop. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Rhino Hearns at first base. Anthony Santander cleaning up in right field. Jordan Westberg got a night off. Batting fifth at third base. Kowser, the home run hero. Left field batting sixth. Cedric Mullins had a couple of knocks and hard hit balls.
Oh, yeah.
At that. We had one kind of dropped it in there, Carew style in left field. But he lined one down the line for a double. Kyle Stowers. Hey, we get to see him. Maybe take a picture of your TV and save it for later. But Kyle Stowers dealing with a wrist injury. He's now in there, DH, batting eighth. And Jorge Mateo hit the three-run homer the other night. He is batting ninth at second base. Cole Irvin on the hill for the Orioles. He's 6-2 with a .287 earned run average for the Braves. Michael Harris is leading off in center field. He almost, I mean, he got an A for effort. He almost robbed Kowser of that home run. Yep. And this guy's a premier defensive player, but it wasn't enough. Ozzie Albies is at second base, batting second. Marcelo Zuna is the DH, batting third. Olsen's cleaning up first base. Riley's batting fifth at third base. D'Arnaud's behind the plate, batting sixth. Adam Duvall's in right field, having a rough year. Batting seventh, Jared Kelmick, former prospect of superstar status. He's in left field, batting eighth. And Orlando Arcia is the shortstop for an Atlanta team. Yes, they're minus Acuna Jr., and that's a big loss, but a lot of these guys are proven veteran all-stars, and they just can't score. Ronaldo Lopez is on the hill for Atlanta, and he's trying to keep the Oriole bats quiet. 3-2 with a .185 ERA. That's your pitching matchup for today's game.
Aren't they 0-for with runners in scoring position?
Yeah, they were 0-for-9 the other night. Yeah. Got the collar last night.
0-for-7 last night.
Yeah, so the Braves, we were talking down at BBT a couple of nights ago at Pickles, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, where the Orioles are almost scoring as many runs in June as Atlanta scored since the end of April.
Oof.
As a team. Kind of wild, wacky stuff, if you will. But in the American League East last night, well, this actually happened during the day. Milwaukee taking on the Blue Jays, and hey, them first place Brewers never stopping.
That one hit to center, back and way gone off the scoreboard for Willie.
Willie Adames, 2-run homer, help stake Brewers to a big lead, 5-1 at the time. They held on, 5-4. Bally Sports on the call. So Adames, he hits a 2-run jack. Winning pitcher for Milwaukee yesterday was Tobias Myers, who the Orioles drafted and traded to Tampa in 17 for Tim Beckham Jr. And then Tobias bounced around a little bit, but he's pitched well because he's basically replacing D.L. Hall, who's on the IL with a knee issue out there for the Brewers. But Milwaukee wins the series there. Cubbies taking on the Rays down at the Trop, and a former MVP doing some former MVP things.
Swing and a high fly ball drilled right field. That one back on its way out of here. Bellinger with a 3-run homer, and the Cubs lead it 4-2.
4-3 was the final score. Bellinger's 3-run jack. Marquise Sports on the call. Suzuki also goes deep for Chicago, who bounces back after that tough loss for them the previous night. Boston taking on Philadelphia. And a guy that may not be as well known as other Red Sox, you know, he contributed to the cause, let's just say.
Swing and a drive by Hamilton. Did he get enough? He drilled that one and is gone. David Hamilton touches the ball.
Nassett on the call, 2-run shot, 8-6 final score in favor of the Red Sox. And then last night, Kauffman Stadium, Yankees, talk about a team that just keeps bashing away while they kept doing it to the Royals.
Stanton absolutely tanks that. Another bomb from Giancarlo.
That's a Yes Network on the call. Giancarlo Stanton, borrow a line from Bull Durham. That thing was hit so far and flew so far, should have had a stewardess on it, because that thing was a bomb. 11-5 was the final score as the Yankees are laying waste to the Kansas City Ball Club. Outside of the Orioles and Braves coming up in a matter of minutes, Yankees at Kansas City 2-10. Cubbies at the Trop 6-50 taking on the Rays. And then Philly at Boston taking on the Red Sox Fenway Park. And real quick, standings update on this total request. Thursday, Yankees 2.5 games up in the Orioles. Boston's 14 back. Toronto and Tampa both 15 off the pay. Or Toronto's 15, Tampa's 16. You get the point. Orioles in second place. What? Math says what? 11.5 games ahead of Boston here. Cleveland's 5.5 up on Kansas City in the Central. Seattle's 6.5 up. They won 4 in a row, by the way, the Mariners over Texas. Philly's 10 games up on the Braves. Milwaukee's 7 up on Cincinnati, Chicago, and the Cardinals. Pirates are only 7.5 out. And the Dodgers, big old hefty lead out there, 6.5 up on the Padres, who are, by the way, showing signs of life as they're now over 500. We'll come back. NFL lunch, feed you some more football, get more Vinny talking about mini camp, which is now over. Now we wait for training camp coming up probably towards the end of July. Brian Wacker, who was out there today from the Baltimore Sun, talk about the Ravens at 1:15. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk all things sports with him. Looks to be a new leader in the clubhouse to take over the Lakers. And it's a guy who we heard about maybe a week or so ago, which, well, you pick it up, we're putting down there, right? All right, Orioles win last night 4-2. Colton Cowser, two-run homer, bottom of the eighth inning after Keegan Aiken had given up a two-run homer to Matt Olson, which tied the game. Kate Povich, outstanding, six shutout innings. Craig Kimbrel gets the save, his 16th. Orioles tonight, or this afternoon coming up in a matter of minutes, as a matter of fact, go for the sweep against Atlanta. Orioles have won six consecutive games. Here's the starting lineup for both teams. Gunnar Henderson leading off at shortstop. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Ryan O'Hearn's at first base. Anthony Santander cleaning up in right field. Jordan Westberg got a night off, batting fifth at third base. Cowser, the home run hero. Left field batting sixth. Cedric Mullins had a couple of knocks and hard hit balls.
Oh, yeah.
At that way, one kind of dropped it in there, Carew style in left field. But he lined one down the line for a double. Kyle Stowers, hey, we get to see him. Maybe take a picture of your TV and save it for later. But Kyle Stowers dealing with a wrist injury. He's now in there, DH, batting eighth. And Jorge Mateo hit the three-run homer the other night. He is batting ninth at second base. Cole Irvin on the hill for the Orioles. He's 6-2 with a .287 earned run average for the Braves. Michael Harris is leading off in center field. He got an A for effort. He almost robbed Cowser of that home run. Yep. And this guy's a premier defensive player, but it wasn't enough. Ozzie Albies is at second base, batting second. Marcelo Zuna is the DH, batting third. Olsen's cleaning up first base. Riley's batting fifth at third base. D'Arnaud's behind the plate, batting sixth. Adam Duvall's in right field, having a rough year, batting seventh. Jared Kelmick, former prospect of superstar status, he's in left field, batting eighth. And Orlando Arcia is the shortstop for an Atlanta team. Yes, they're minus Acuna Jr., and that's a big loss, but a lot of these guys are proven veteran all-stars, and they just can't score. Ronaldo Lopez is on the hill for Atlanta, and he's trying to keep the Oriole bats quiet. 3-2 with a .185 ERA. That's your pitching matchup for today's game.
Aren't they 0-for with runners in scoring position?
Yeah, they were 0-for-9 the other night. Yeah. Got the collar last night.
0-for-7 last night.
Yeah, so the Braves, we were talking down at BBT a couple of nights ago at Pickles, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, where the Orioles are almost scoring as many runs in June as Atlanta scored since the end of April.
Oof.
As a team. Kind of wild, wacky stuff, if you will. But in the American League East last night, well, this actually happened during the day. Milwaukee taking on the Blue Jays, and hey, them first-place Brewers never stopping.
That one hit to center. Back and way gone off the scoreboard for Willie.
Willie Adames, two-run homer, helped stake Brewers to a big lead, 5-1 at the time. They held on 5-4, Bally Sports on the call. So Adames, he hits a two-run jack. Winning pitcher for Milwaukee yesterday was Tobias Myers, who the Orioles drafted and traded to Tampa in 17 for Tim Beckham Jr. And then Tobias bounced around a little bit, but he's pitched well because he's basically replacing D.L. Hall, who's on the IL with a knee issue out there for the Brewers. But Milwaukee wins the series there. Cubbies taking on the Rays down at the Trop, and a former MVP doing some former MVP things.
Swing and a high fly ball drilled right field. That one back. Bellinger with a three-run homer, and the Cubs lead it 4-2.
4-3 was the final score. Bellinger's three-run jack. Marquis Sports on the call. Suzuki also goes deep for Chicago, who bounces back after that tough loss for them the previous night. Boston taking on Philadelphia. And a guy that may not be as well-known as other Red Sox. You know, he contributed to the cause, let's just say.
Swing and a drive by Hamilton. Did he get enough? He drilled that one and is gone. Damn it, Hamilton touches the ball.
Nassett on the call, two-run shot, 8-6 final score in favor of the Red Sox. And then last night, Kauffman Stadium, Yankees. Talk about a team that just keeps bashing away while they kept doing it to the Royals.
Stanton absolutely tanks that. Another bomb from Giancarlo.
That's a Yes Network on the call. Giancarlo Stanton, borrow a line from Bull Durham. That thing was hit so far and flew so far, should have had a stewardess on it, because that thing was a bomb. 11-5 was the final score as the Yankees are laying waste to the Kansas City Ball Club. Outside of the Orioles and Braves coming up in a matter of minutes, Yankees at Kansas City 210, Cubbies at the Drop 650 taking on the Rays, and then Philly at Boston taking on the Red Sox Fenway Park. And real quick, standings update on this total request. Thursday, Yankees 2.5 games up in the Orioles. Boston's 14 back. Toronto and Tampa both 15 off the pay, or Toronto's 15, Tampa's 16. You get the point. Orioles in second place. What? Math says what? 11.5 games ahead of Boston here. Cleveland's 5.5 up on Kansas City in the Central. Seattle 6.5 up. They won 4 in a row, by the way, the Mariners, over Texas. Philly's 10 games up on the Braves. Milwaukee 7 up on Cincinnati, Chicago, and the Cardinals. Pirates are only 7.5 out, and the Dodgers, big old hefty lead out there, 6.5 up on the Padres, who are, by the way, showing signs of life as they're now over 500. We'll come back. NFL lunch, feed you some more football, get more Vinny talking about mini camp, which is now over. Now we wait for training camp coming up probably towards the end of July. Brian Wacker, who was out there today from the Baltimore Sun, talking about the Ravens at 1:15. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk all things sports with him. Looks to be a new leader in the clubhouse to take over the Lakers. And it's a guy who we heard about maybe a week or so ago, which, well, you pick it up, we're putting down there, right?